Pray together. God, thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you for a day that we get to be together. Thank you for a day that in a world of doubt and confusion, that we can come here this morning as people of faith who continue to put our faith in you. Thank you for the story and example and the ongoing life of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who continues to equip us for this moment and who fills us with the abundant life that we see glimpses of today that we anticipate in the future will be an eternal life with you. And thank you for the times when we already get to experience eternal life with you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord be with you. The death of Jesus left everyone in a state of confusion. The story of the Gospel of Luke right after the cross is a story of dashed hope. They thought one thing was going to happen, but something else happened. Does that ever sound familiar to you? Does everyday life ever hit you that way? You think one thing is going to happen, something else happens. Sometimes you think one thing is going to happen and that something else that happens is bad. It's uninvited. But sometimes you think something is going to happen and that thing that happens instead is wonderful and it fills you with life. And while it seems that that scenario is not as common as the previously mentioned one, when that happens, it overwhelms you with joy. And sometimes it can overwhelm you with so much joy that you have to pause and ask yourself, wait, is this really real? Is this really happening? And that's the story of the end of the Gospel of Luke. If there's any comfort in this part of our own walk with Jesus, it's comfort rooted in the promise that no matter how disoriented we might become, God is at work in an eternal story that some days, whenever we say it out loud, it even sounds a little bit ridiculous. In the midst of pain and doubt, we occasionally encounter Jesus who surprises us with joy. Sometimes the joy is so great that it makes us ask more questions. Is this real? I'm here today to tell you something that you may not hear. In fact, you may actually have trouble hearing it. You may have trouble believing it. After all, I'm just one man. Just one. One human being on a planet populated by billions of human beings. So this is just one voice. But I testify today to this about the resurrection of Jesus. It's real. Luke 24, 36 through 43, right in the middle of a story. When it begins by saying, while they were still talking about this, what they're talking about, I think, is this conversation Jesus had with a couple of people on a post-resurrection walk. And if it's not specifically that, it's the whole story. You decide which one suits you best. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled, terrified, and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "You have anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. The only way this happens is by the hand of God. I mean, that's the only way you can read this story and not find it just absolutely outlandish. Only way it happens. That story that we just read happens by the hand of God. Everything turns on this. Our whole lives of faith depend on this moment, that what just happened is by the hand of God. We live within this constant tension of living at the cross with the truth of the resurrection. And I think that that tension is there on purpose in the Christian life. That we talk about the cross and we talk about the resurrection, and oftentimes we say them in the same breath. And I think that on purpose, that creates a little bit of tension in us. How can we talk about a horrible, brutal death and the joy of a resurrection back to life at the same time? I mean, shouldn't we just pick one? You know, sometimes when we come to the table, people will say, "This is to remember the death of Jesus. This is where we die to ourselves." And that's right. But sometimes people talk at the table about the resurrection. You know, and if you think about when Jesus first instituted the table, you start wondering, well, should we talk about the resurrection yet? Shouldn't we just stay here for a minute and talk just about the death of Jesus? Is it jumping the gun to talk about the resurrection while we're still at the table? Aren't we supposed to wallow in misery for a moment? And I get that. But at the same time, we wouldn't be at the table in the first place if not for the resurrection of Jesus. And so again, that tension is there on purpose. We talk about the death of Jesus, and we talk about the resurrection of Jesus, and we do them simultaneously. We're always talking about death, and we're always talking about life. But the thing about it is, we don't feel the pain of death quite as much as we used to. And it's because of the resurrection of Jesus. But then at the same time, we're told to embrace dying to ourselves in order to have life with Christ. You see why the Christian story sometimes raises more questions than it answers? Why this just raises a whole bunch of questions? Talking about death and life at the same time. Here's what it looked like at the end of Luke 24 in the passage that we just read. And I love the way that the passage that we read puts this. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. Does that sound familiar? You ever been there? While in their joy, they were disbelieving. What a beautiful way to capture the life of faith. So filled with joy that it makes you do a double take. You ever do a double take? You ever seen something that filled you with so much immediate happiness that the very first thing that your mind, that your heart, that your very soul did was to call it into question? It was just too good. The colloquialism that we have in English is, it's too good to be. Where do you think that comes from? It comes from that immediate impulse that when something so good is right in front of us, we say, wait, is this real? The way that Luke put it was, while in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering. The really good news is that that's not the end of the story. That's not all there is. That there's more to this. There's more to come. The really good news is that there's a four-word promise attached to all of these stories. Everything that we've done since the beginning of the Advent season that acknowledges that we're anticipating something yet to come, and as we've walked through the entire life, teachings, story, death, and now resurrection of Jesus, everything comes together, not in that moment, but in a four-word promise attached to all of these stories that we proclaim on days like today. Hundreds of years later, going on thousands of years later, we come in here and the four-word promise is, the dead shall rise. Everything is on those four words. The dead shall rise. Jesus is Lord. I like that one. You know all these little sayings that we have, that we say on Sunday mornings during worship? Jesus is Lord. I like that one. God is in control. Yeah, I like that one too. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's a good one. The dead shall rise. Okay, now that one tops them all. In fact, it defines all the other ones. It calls all of those other sayings rooted in that one four-word promise. Jesus is Lord. Yeah. You know why? Because He conquered death. God is in control. Yeah, and where do we see that most apparently? That not even death can separate us from God's love. Receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit. Okay, so where are we going to see that the most? Where it's seen is in new and unending life. Everything comes together in this promise, the dead shall rise. And I'm ready for it. I'm ready to see this. Because I'll tell you what, I've seen a lot of death in my lifetime. And you probably have too. And so to come in here on a Sunday morning and say, the dead shall rise, okay, I can sink my teeth into that one. Is it today? Is it tomorrow? Is it sometime that we can't see? Yeah, exactly. I don't know. But it's happened. The ball is already set in motion. And here is the one thing that we all have in common. Every single one of us in this room right now, either as we profess Jesus as Lord, even on the days when we have to say through gritted teeth, God is in control, even as we say with nothing more than hope, receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit, we have one thing in common, and it's the resurrection of Jesus. That's what we all have in common. I'm going to go out on a limb, as I usually do, because we preachers are told, you know, sometimes you got to take risks. So I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest that most of us in this room probably don't all think exactly the same on y'all fill in the blank. I don't care what you say. We probably don't think the same exact thing on fill in the blank. But what binds us together is not the ability to think exactly the same on every single thing. But you know what we do share? In this room, this morning, the week after Easter, the resurrection of Jesus. We share that together. In this place, at this moment, and it's what we celebrate. It's what holds us together. There's no Easter flowers on the baptistry. I mean, seriously, did you buy a new dress for the second Sunday of Easter? You know, did you buy a new tie for the second Sunday? Nobody buys new stuff for the second Sunday of Easter. Most of us who didn't grow up in any kind of liturgical tradition didn't even wake up this morning and think, oh, second Sunday of Easter. It's okay. Because what we share, what unites us at this moment, in this place, is the resurrection of Jesus. I think differently today in 2016 about the whole topic of divorce and remarriage than I thought in the 1980s. Can you believe that? I thought, because I had it all figured out in the late 80s, everything. I mean, you name it. I had all of it figured out. And the fun thing was, is that in 1990 and 91, as a freshman, sophomore Bible major, I really did have it all figured out. It wasn't until junior, senior year that I started realizing, gosh, maybe I don't know everything. I just know most everything. And then years started ticking by. And then you start knowing people. And you start walking with them in their stories. And you realize, oh, maybe it's not as cut and dried as I once thought it was. Maybe it's not as clear, all these issues that we deal with. I've had a number of conversations, more than you might think. And I'll say this, that it's not here. I haven't had this conversation at Bearing, so don't look around the room and wonder, oh, who's he talking about? It's not here. But I have had conversations through the years with women who have had abortions. And they've sat in my office, devastated. Because you know what unites us this morning? It's not the ability to coalesce unity of thought on every single topic. It's the ability to still come in here on the second Sunday after Easter and realize that what binds us together in unity is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I think I would have given up a long time ago if not for that promise. I really do. Sometimes this whole following Jesus thing is just too much to keep up with. But it's the resurrection of Jesus. That's what keeps me coming back. And it's because of this promise that we can say all kinds of things together. And it's because of that ongoing promise that we come to places like this and we do what we are about to do now. And so, with that in mind, the Lord be with you. Lift up your